This is the EWN Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to Idea Success with Sylvia, the place you need to be for the next hour for information and inspiration to turn your dreams into dollars, your concepts into cash, and your ideas into income and impact.
And welcome to another episode of Idea Success with Sylvia. You know, if you want to get your ideas or help others get theirs into action, you're in the right place for the next 60 minutes. And if you need to get out of your head and get things done, then stay tuned for the next hour. Hi, I'm Sylvia Henderson, the Clarity Queen of Implementation, and I'm honored that you've chosen to spend your most valuable resource in your life, your time, with me today. My show is about ideas, getting, clarifying, implementing, and supporting ideas. I interview people who've put ideas into action, realized their dreams, achieved their goals, and followed through with their intentions to bring you best practices you can use right away to actively create your own success. And I interview experts in a wide range of fields who are resources for you to call on to make an income and an impact with your idea. And that's who I have as my guest today, is one of those resources. Her name is April Hunter, and I'll tell you about her in a minute. But first of all, you know, the title of the program today is Find More Time to Take Action on Your Ideas. Find more time to take action on your ideas. And that's exactly what the program's about. And it's how a virtual assistant, and that's what April Hunter is, how a virtual assistant can help you get your ideas in action when you're an idea person like me and you hate the nitty-gritty details of actually making your ideas a reality. Well, a virtual assistant helps us do just that. And April is my virtual assistant, and I am absolutely thrilled to introduce her to you, to the world. But you know what? First choice, she's mine first before you all get in line to use her. So April, welcome to Idea Success with Sylvia.
Thank you so much, Sylvia. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm excited to interview with you. It's a first for me, so I'm very excited.
Yes, and I have to chuckle and let listeners know that we're sort of, you know, I'm the one that's usually out there and talking to people and out in front, and April has been my support behind the scenes. So now we're kind of switching a little bit and letting April kind of show what she does and tell you what she does and what a virtual assistant is all about. And I'm the support running the radio program. So we both step out of our comfort zones here every now and then. You know, a lot of listeners hear about virtual assistants, and if any those listeners who are eWomen Network members, not everybody is, but those who are eWomen Network members probably just experienced the Women Conference not too long ago, where we heard about virtual assistants a little bit, about get things out of your, you know, off of your plate and let somebody else handle the stuff that you don't do well, talking to us. And so that's what led me to ask you to talk about, what in the heck is a virtual assistant? So, you know, what is that? What's that mean?
Actually, a virtual assistant typically is a self-employed individual, male or female. They offer different types of assistance to various types of people, whether they're executives, solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, small business owners. They usually work remotely, obviously, the word virtual, from a home office. And they offer various types of services, sometimes administrative services such as database, calendar, email management, maybe some technical support, which might include updating a client's website, maybe updating their plugins or their themes, updating website graphics or their content, building sales pages, and then there's creative support as well, where a virtual assistant might create banners or posters for marketing purposes for a client. Pretty much that's it in a nutshell. There's many different types of assistance a virtual assistant can offer. Some virtual assistants have specialties. Some offer a variety of services, like I do. But that's pretty much what a virtual assistant is.
So when you say they offer specialties, have you seen, you know, do they do things like specifically, like some do marketing maybe, or some do sales only, or, you know, I wasn't sure what kind of specific stuff.
I would say there are virtual assistants that may even do telemarketing primarily as their specialty task, or build websites. Some virtual assistants just build websites. So you can have either a variety of tasks that you perform, or two or three that you perform extraordinarily well and you specialize in. I offer many different services as a virtual assistant. I don't stick to just a couple of things. I enjoy learning a lot of different things. So,
and does a virtual assistant, I'm sitting here at my desk looking at the piles as they grow across the desk and down to the floor and over to the couch in my office. So it sounds like, you know, a virtual assistant is probably not going to be able to help me in my office. Are there any that actually work locally?
Yes, there are. There are virtual assistants. I know of a few people that actually use local virtual assistants specifically for that reason. They may be able to perform some tasks remotely, just virtually, you know, on their computer from home. And then at times may clients either office outside of their home or their home office and help them organize within that building. There are virtual assistants that will do both.
And when I was at the conference recently, a speaker who was sitting at my table, this person next to her actually, I needed something from the food server, and this person spoke up in Spanish to the food server who spoke Spanish. And when she got done, I looked at her and I thanked her. And I said, whoa, thanks for helping me. And the speaker who was next to her, I didn't know her, said, yeah, that's why I bring her with me to my events. And I looked at her and said, well, what do you mean you bring her with you? She says, well, she's my virtual assistant, but she comes with me everywhere because she helps me with my registrations and my sales in the back of the room when I speak. And so I bring her to the conference so that she can handle stuff here for me. And I thought, ooh. Wow, nice to have one of those, right?
Yeah, and that's an option as well. Then it becomes probably a little bit more difficult to have a larger clientele. That would probably be for a smaller group of clients that you would have if you were going to travel a lot. But that's another option as well, yes.
Yeah. So, okay, I know you said some of what you do as a VA, and I'm going to, for listeners, I'm shortening virtual assistant to VA every now and then. So it's not Veterans Administration on this program anyway. It's virtual assistant. So I'm creating, since I'm about ideas and how to get them implemented, and people are listening for that reason, I'm thinking, okay, I've got an idea for, and the ideas could be all over the place, as you well know from working with me, but take an example. I've got an idea as a coach and as a speaker to hold one of my workshops or to hold one of my retreats. But I'm absolutely overwhelmed with the thought of how in the heck do I get this all done? How do I let people know about it? How do I get invitations out, and how do I get people registered and create the website and all the stuff that goes into holding the event? Now, I'm a content person. I'm an idea person. Right. I just want to stand in front of a room and do my thing. So how do you, as a VA, help me put that idea into action?
Well, one of the first things I would do is you would obviously provide me with the details of the event, date, time, the focus of the event, what the topic would be. And I would begin by creating all the information that would go into promoting the event. And I would start with a landing page, or some people call it a sales page, some people call it a landing page, which has all the information of the event, the date, the time, and typically a web form where the person would register with their name and email address. I would construct that, put that whole thing together online. I would create some business owners have their own graphics. I can create graphics. I would put the graphics together for the heading of the sales page. I would also put together all the email reminders for the event so that when someone registers, every couple of days they'll get a reminder, or the day before the event there's a reminder sent, tomorrow's the big day, see you there, whatever the client would want to say. Then I would go about, once that was all put together and approved and tested, then we would go about promoting it on social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Pinterest, wherever the client would want it promoted. They also have websites specifically created to promote events, so that's an option as well for the client. So from start to finish, build the whole sales page, create the emails, test it out, get it approved by the client. Once the client is approved, it's published. The link is given out. The link is used in social media, and it's promoted however often the client would want it promoted. Typically, 3 or 4 times a week is what I would suggest, but that's up to the client. That would definitely take a huge amount of tasks off a client's plate to be able to just get all that done. And really, all the client would have to do at that point is be there. It's already done. It's already created. It's already promoted. And she just pretty much has to show up and do her thing.
All right. You put together a whole campaign, and you use a variety of different products and different systems.
Very many.
The one thing, so depending on what a client uses already, you may actually have some knowledge or some experience or have at least seen the systems, the marketing systems, the email systems, the customer relationship management systems, all that stuff.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm pretty familiar with most of the ones that are out there, the most popular ones, and I'm sure there's a lot more others that I'm not familiar with. But yes, I typically will learn it, pretty quickly to pick up on it.
Yeah, that's been one of the things that has really, really impressed me about you, is how open you are to learning, how you can sit and watch these videos, which I'm old school. Give me I want that doggone 2-inch user manual that I can flip back and forth.
Yeah.
And since in the last few years, those user manuals have disappeared, and you have to read everything online and look at the videos. I don't have time to look at all those videos. What impresses me is that you sit there and you look at those videos and you learn how to use some of these different systems. And I'm like, whoa. I'm glad somebody can handle that tedium.
Yeah, and that's usually typically the way that I learn, me personally, is by either watching and or doing. That's the way I typically learn. So, and I love learning new programs. I mean, I just think that makes me more valuable as a virtual assistant to new clients and older clients, and the clients that I already have that may want to go to a new program. So I think it's important for a VA to make themselves, or to teach themselves as much as they can.
Yeah, to stay up to date, sort of. Yeah. Let's backtrack a little bit. What in the world, how did you get to this point? What led you to become a virtual assistant? Did you go to school and you said, oh, I want a degree in virtual assistants. I want to be a virtual assistant.
Actually, I didn't even know what it was when it was presented to me. My background is actually customer service. I was a customer service rep for 15 years in the manufacturing industry. And then when the economy more or less crashed, I found myself out of a job for quite a while, actually. It was real bad around that time. And I looked for a job relatively similar to what I had. I loved what I did. I it's similar to what I do as a VA. And to make a long story short, I found a couple of jobs here and there in between, and they weren't very satisfying to me. They didn't make me feel great at the end of the day. And so a friend of mine who I went to high school with, we were connected on Facebook, and we were talking about jobs, just full-time jobs. I was complaining, I believe I was, and he suggested that I take a look at becoming a virtual assistant. And I said, what in the world is a virtual assistant? So I did some research, and I found out what a virtual assistant did a lot of research. And it seemed like something I would really enjoy doing, because one of the things I love to do is to help people solve a problem or to make things easier in their life. And that was one of the things a couple of things I did as a customer service rep. So I just started reading about becoming a virtual assistant. This friend of mine who got me thinking about it, actually, he also sent me my first client, which was you. and I've just grown my clientele incredibly since then. It's been a few years. I just started teaching myself everything I could teach myself. I found out what the most popular things were that I needed to know as a virtual assistant. And I started learning them. I signed up for trial periods of programs. They give you 30 days. You can go in and play around with it and teach yourself how to do these things. Didn't have to pay a penny for them. So I do take courses now that I pay for because I find them beneficial. But in the very beginning stages, I took all the free things I could take and taught myself. And it was the best thing I ever did. So that's how I started, and that's where I am today. And I couldn't be happier. I love what I do.
So you literally built your business from zero. I mean, that's just a huge message to listeners who are sitting there thinking, nothing I'm doing is working. I don't know where to go next. And I've got, I've got these ideas for doing something, and I'm not quite sure what it is I want to do even. I mean, you're a perfect example of starting something from scratch and with nothing and then building a business.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, there are so many resources online. I mean, so many resources. You just have to sit down and look. I mean, everything, like I said, everything I taught myself, I found online, programs online, and started part-time. Last summer, decided to do it full-time because I loved it so much, and it was the best move I ever made. I can't even picture myself working for somebody ever again. I love what I'm doing now. So,
I think there are plenty of people out there thinking, oh, man, I want to get out of this job. I'm tired of working for, as they say, working for the man, even though sometimes it's for the woman.
Yeah.
And there's no clue as to what to do to do that. And I'm thinking the world is not saturated with virtual assistants.
No, it's not. Actually, I mean, you know, the thing is, too, you have to be a certain kind. You've got to be a very disciplined person also to be able to get up every day, not leave your house, and to start working. And I do that. I mean, every day I do that. I start at the same time every day, just like as if I was going outside to work. So you do have to have discipline. You have to be a certain kind of person to be able to do that from home. So that's something to consider also if you're thinking of doing virtual assistant work.
That's a good point. I think I may touch on that a little more when I come back on sort of what's a typical day look like for you in terms of just that discipline and working for yourself. But I have to take a station break, and we'll be back in a minute or two.
Okay.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Most people know UPS, but did you know we offer expert advice and time-saving tools for startups?
I have a big idea, and now I have big decisions to make.
We can help you get there.
Startups need all the help we can get.
Talk with our experts and find technology that can help you automate tasks so you can do more, faster.
To grow, I need help saving time and money.
Have a one-on-one consultation with a specialist at no cost, and our shipping and tracking tools are free as well.
I want to be more efficient and streamline operations.
You can even sign up for UPS Smart Pickup, which will automatically notify a driver whenever you create a shipment online.
Wow, so I can spend more time focusing on the big picture?
You focus on your business, while we take care of the logistics.
Putting more energy toward my dreams, that would be huge.
Get expert advice for your growing business. See how at ups.com/startups.
I love logistics.
You're connected to the EWN Radio Network.
And we're back. This is Sylvia Henderson, your host, and we're talking about how to get your ideas, how to take action on your ideas with help from a virtual assistant who can help us take find more time. Help us find more time to take action on our ideas and our projects and whatever other words you want to use in place of ideas. So when we took the break, before the break, I said that when we come back, let's look at sort of a typical day in the life of a virtual assistant in that my guest, who is April Hunter, my virtual assistant, talked about, about the discipline it takes to have your own business. And, I've talked about this before with a couple of entrepreneurs who I've interviewed. Kind of talk a little bit about that discipline and what your day typically looks like, which may be atypical every day.
Yeah, I mean, typically I get up first thing in the morning. I'm up at no later than 6 o'clock every morning. I don't sleep until 9 or 10. If it's a weekend. But I'm up at 6 o'clock, by 6 o'clock every day. I do the typical, morning ritual that everyone else does, use the restroom, brush my teeth, make some coffee. I'll do some physical exercise before I start my day, and I'm at my desk by no later than 7:30 a.m. First thing I do is check my email, see if there's anything, urgent that I need to take care of first thing, schedule my tasks for the day, anything that came in overnight or after I left my office for the day. And I use a program called Asana to all of my tasks for the day. Mm-hmm. I write in a new task, give it a due date, and I typically follow my Asana checklist as well as a Google Calendar that I use Google Calendar as well for phone meetings or outside appointments. But I follow that to a T typically every day. My office hours are normally, they're written 8 to 4, but typically 7:30 to 5 or 6 is my normal day. Sometimes a little earlier. It depends on what's going on. Summertime brings vacation, so there are days when I'm less busy than others. But that's typically my day, sometimes weekends. And yes, there are days I don't want to get out of bed just like if I work for someone else, but I do. I pull myself out of bed and I say, I'm running my business. I need to get up. And it's a matter of discipline. You need to be disciplined enough to know that this is your job. This is what you need to do. And if you make it a habit every day, you have an actual schedule that you follow, it makes things a lot easier.
And I think the discipline also comes, the other thing that impresses me is I think your discipline also comes with knowing when not to work and actually halfway balancing your personal life with your business life. Because when we work for ourselves, well, do I know that sometimes we fail to take the time for ourselves. We fail to take the time for our families. We fail to take the time for relationships and for the stuff that we just have to do in life, housework and errands and all of that. And you seem to do a decent job of balancing not too much, time off, not too much distraction, but enough to deal with all the other issues of life. So that's discipline also.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, there may be weekends I may work one day out of the weekend, but I always have at least one day where I'm not reading my emails, and I'm not working on something for a client or for myself business-wise. It's just pleasure and personal time with my family, My boyfriend, my house, one day over the weekend is always dedicated to my personal things. Even if it means working a Saturday or a Sunday, one of those 2 days is dedicated to me. And I make sure that that happens because I think it's important for everyone to have that balance.
Yeah. And, you know, in case listeners are wondering or thinking, well, maybe she's, well, maybe she doesn't have all the other demands that we have. I just not, I don't want to get personal on you, but just to say to listeners, you know, April is a, she's a mother. She's a, in a committed relationship. She's a daughter. She's, you know, a homeowner. So all that stuff that we all say, oh, well, we got this and that and the other, and it's easy for somebody else to do that. No, you just need to get disciplined and organized. So,
yeah, and I have tests. And my mom lives in my house. So, you know, it's a matter of somewhat taking care of her, too. She's in her 80s. She's pretty self-reliant, but doctor's appointments and things like that, I'm the person that takes her. She doesn't drive anymore. So all of that plays into it.
Yep. And I remember some of that too, having to have take care of my mom. So when somebody's looking, so there's me and I need one of them. I need a virtual assistant or I need an assistant, period. What are some of the characteristics? What are some of the qualifications that the listeners should be looking for when they're searching for an assistant?
Well, some of the things that I think are important to look for, you want somebody who presents themselves as businesslike and friendly, especially if they're going to be contacting, you know, your clients, your clients' clients. If you're going to be dealing with them on the phone or in an email, you need to be businesslike and friendly. That's one thing you want to look for. You want to a VA that's resourceful, a VA that can get answers for you. Many times my clients have no idea how to find something or how to fix something, or I think a VA needs to be very resourceful to discover an answer to a problem, either by researching or you might want your client may want contact info on a person, you know, they want to connect with and they have no idea where to start. You know, a VA can do that as well, find information for, you know, on a contact that you want to connect with. A VA should be willing to learn software that a client currently uses, and that they're happy with. I mean, yeah, you can make recommendations on a new program that they might want to use, but I think it's important that you try to learn programs that your prospective client is already using. So that may be a question you would want to ask of a prospective VA is what programs do they use, and maybe tell them what you use and see if they know that program. I think a VA needs to be able to listen well. Detail-oriented is a big, big plus to me. I mean, I think that should be one of the key characteristics of a VA, being detail-oriented. I just think that's really an important characteristic to have. You'll want to know how long they've been in business. Also ask them what their strengths and weaknesses are. So this way you know. I mean, everybody has strengths and everybody has weaknesses. Do they have a specialty skill set that they use? Some VAs excel in other areas over some others. I think it's important to ask a VA also what they enjoy doing. If a VA enjoys doing something that you want them to do, they can get it just done so much. I enjoy all aspects of VA work. There are some things I enjoy more than others, but I think it's important for you to know what they enjoy most in their business. The security is also an issue.
I agree with what you just said about really knowing what the other person enjoys doing, because I know once you said that you liked learning new systems and figuring out the configurations and the parameters that you have to fill in, and once you said to me that, you know, you were, when something didn't work right, it was sort of like, I'll be danged if I'm going to quit until I figure it out. And I was like, all right, because I look at stuff sometimes and I go, okay, crap, didn't work twice, forget that. So,
I'm like a really determined person, even outside of work, even in my personal life. if something's not working right, I have to. It's a need to find out how to fix it. It's just the way it is for me. I think that, I mean, I've had prospective clients ask me what I love doing the most in my business. So I do think that's an important question. Another issue is you should ask a VA if they have security measures in place for passwords and login credentials. I think that's an important question. Yeah, you know, most of my clients do not like sharing that information via email. There's other options. There's text, there's a phone call, there's Dropbox. I actually use a program called RoboForm, which all of my clients' passwords and my personal ones and my mom's, I mean, they're all in this one program. And then there's one master huge password I have to remember. That's it. So that's another issue, because you don't want your credentials out there anywhere. I mean, it's just anybody can get a hold of them, and then the next thing you know, your privacy has been invaded. So, I mean, the only other option besides that is just regular old pen and paper and lock it up in a safe somewhere, really. But that's another question that I would ask a prospective VA about security, for sure.
Didn't think about that.
What kind of training they've had, that might be another question. In the past 6 months, that might be another question you would want to ask. What kind of training have you had in the past 3 months or 4 months or 5 months, just to see if they're keeping up with trends and what's going on out, you know, in technology, really, because a VA really needs to know about that, those things.
Yeah, I would think, I guess nowadays it's more than just knowing how to type, as they say.
Yeah, I mean, it really is, because you want someone who stays current so they can help you as a client the best that they can with the best programs out there to make just things more streamlined. So that's definitely, I mean, whether they taught themselves, whether they took a course, whether they watched a video, listened to a seminar, I think a VA needs to keep training consistently and on a regular basis.
And what's nice for me is that when I have an idea for something and, you know, I know sometimes I can say things in a vague way, like I know I want this to happen, but because you span clients without betraying the trust of any of them, you can offer a suggestion to take that idea further or to give me an alternative to an approach that actually may help me implement that thought or implement that project even better than what I was thinking. So it's the two heads better than one, but you've got an educated head from experience from other people who have had you exposed to other things that I don't even know about. Yeah.
That's correct. That's correct. And that's the other great thing about what I do. No names have to be mentioned or anything. You know, I have another client that's doing this. This may work for you. And you get to see all the different aspects of, I mean, working with numerous clients really helps me work with everybody. It just gives me so much extra that I didn't have before.
Let's throw that in the other direction too then. I mean, you know, those are things that we should be asking a person who we're considering contracting with or hiring. So what about you? What is it? Because, you know, we all know, we're taught as we learn about how to run a business that we need to interview our potential clients, too, to see if they're a fit for us. So what do you look for in a client when you're interviewing them sort of subconsciously or consciously?
Well, usually my first question is what kind of help do they need? Because I want to be able to help a client completely. And if I don't know something about what they're looking for help with, that's why that's usually my first question. What do they need help with? What kind of help are you looking for? And then typically the next question would be, how much time are you looking for someone to spend on this task? Sometimes it's a regular monthly hours that they need. Sometimes it's just a one-time project that they might need help, say formatting an ebook. That's a one-time project. So that would be my first couple of questions. I also like to find out how a client likes to communicate. Some just like email. Some like texting. I have a couple of clients that actually we make it a monthly phone call every, say, first Wednesday of the month. We're going to get on the phone at this time of day, and we're going to have a discussion about what's going to happen this month. So there are clients that enjoy that. So I like to find those things out ahead of time as well. I also, lost my train of thought there. Also, some clients like to send me, I have a client that actually sends me a checklist every month at the beginning of every month. We don't speak on the phone. She's awfully busy. Many times she doesn't find time to get on the phone with me, but she does have a checklist for me that she sends me at the beginning of every month. These are my goals for this month and what my tasks within those goals would be. Asking how they like to communicate is important as well. And I think a lot of it has to do with the comfort level you feel when you speak with someone. Goes both ways, them with me, me with them. Sometimes it's a great feeling, sometimes it's not. So, you know, it's hard to determine if it's going to be a good fit just from one conversation. I mean, my recommendation would be to either a prospective VA or a prospective client to, you can always do a trial period to see if it's going to work. And there's nothing wrong with that from both sides. Either one can ask for a trial period. But, you know, it's hard to determine if the fit is really well just on one phone call. So those are the questions that I typically ask a prospective client.
Have you ever had to fire a client? Have you ever had to say, listen, I don't think this is working out?
Actually, there was one client, it was a mutual decision. We both didn't feel that it was a good fit at the time, which is okay. You know, because I feel that if you or your client, whether a VA or a client, the relationship and the tasks involved, there shouldn't be a relationship. I've had lots, and that's the only one that it wasn't a good fit for us. Our expectations, I believe, were different from each other. So it didn't work out. We left on good terms. You know, I'm still in touch with them. You know, I'm still connected with them on social media. So it's fine, you know.
Cool.
That's the way life is.
Yep. And, yeah, you'd rather end that relationship than continue and feel miserable or have difficulty, over and over and over again. You said something and sparked a thought in my head, and I didn't write it down. That's what happens.
Communication?
You have this information at your website, which, by the way, I forgot to mention in the beginning, and a way to reach you, the way to reach April, if anybody wants to, her website, www.aprilrhunter, that's April, like the month, A-P-R-I-L, the letter R, the last name Hunter, aprilrhunter.com. If anybody's looking, how do I reach her? How do I find out about her? I'll ask you for more contact info at the end. But how do you charge? You don't need to get too specific on this program, because that's something you deal with a person with one-on-one when they call.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have on your website kind of how you charge. So do you charge by the hour? Do you charge by the day? I mean, kind of some guidelines on what to expect.
Well, there's different ways you can charge. The majority of my clients now are on a retainer, which means that they get a specified, agreed-upon amount of hours every month, lowest being 10 and up. Typically, we'll receive a discount off the hourly rate. That would get billed at the beginning of the month on a retainer. And if you're someone who's not sure how many hours they need, you can sign up for an hourly rate. You may only need 3 or 4 hours a month, anything up till 10, and you're not sure after that even. You may need 5 hours 1 month, 2 hours the next month. Those clients would typically be charged hourly, and they would be billed at the end of the month. I recently started offering packages as well. I hear that packages are the way to go, so I'm sort of aiming for that. It keeps you from having to set a timer, which I do. I mean, I said for all of my tasks, I set a timer. I keep track of all of my time for each client on a spreadsheet. So There's no complete transparency. If they need to see what I've been spending my time on, it's there for them. So when you offer packages, of course, you don't have to worry about keeping track of time. But those are the three ways that I actually charge, whether it's a package, also training. Training I charge differently because, obviously, if you're training somebody to do something, they will not need you anymore when you're done.
Mm-hmm.
So that typically gets a different rate just for training someone to do something. And I've done that as well.
Ah, I didn't think about that. Okay. Hmm. Okay.
So I was, and these are all things that thinking, I've learned over the last 3 years, you know.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. You've learned how to run a business as well as how to do the business, do the stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, all these little things, for instance, training. You know, I was charging, I did a training hour with someone to teach them how to use Pinterest. And I charged them my regular rate, and somebody said, "You're nuts. They're never going to come back to you again. So your training rate needs to be different." And, you know, these are all these things that I've learned over the years that I've incorporated into my business. So,
you know, nuts if they paid for it. That just, you've established your value.
Exactly.
But I think we all struggle. A lot of us entrepreneurs and solopreneurs struggle with pricing. That's one of the biggest questions I get when somebody's trying to figure out their business idea. And that's one of the number one questions that I know business coaches get from their clients, having talked to business coaches. When we come back, I need to take another break. When we come back, which is share maybe a couple of success stories from your perspective where you've helped people who are idea people and content people, then they just can't quite seem to get all the details figured out. A couple of success stories and maybe a couple of tips for listeners on how to determine what to give, what to delegate to a virtual assistant versus do themselves, which is still a constant struggle between you and me.
Yes, yes,
with,
it is.
With Sylvia, let me do it. So when we come back, we'll talk about that for a few minutes because,
okay,
believe it or not, the hour is almost over. You were worried about filling an hour. I know. So
okay,
we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
You know those money-making ideas in your head that keep you awake at night? And your life-changing thoughts in the shower that dry up after you dry off? Well, it's time to get them out of your head and into action with Sylvia Henderson and IdeaSuccessNetwork.com. Aren't you tired of having all those ideas, dreaming your dreams, setting goal after goal, and putting out intentions, yet still facing challenges to be fully in action? It's time to turn your dreams into dollars, your concepts into cash, and your ideas into income and impact. Enter your name and email address at IdeaSuccessNetwork.com to get tips and strategies for implementing your ideas with Sylvia's Idea Success Notes. You'll also get a bonus thank you gift for doing so. Don't waste another minute. Go to IdeaSuccessNetwork.com now and get your Idea Success Notes for moving your ideas to action.
You're listening to Sylvia Henderson on the EWN Radio Network.
And we're back for the last 15 minutes or so of the show. And so I asked, this is Sylvia, if you've come in late, I'm Sylvia Henderson, your host, and I'm talking to April Hunter, my virtual assistant, and we're talking about how a virtual assistant can help us idea people and us content people get our ideas into action when we spend our time mulling those ideas around in our head, not doing something about them because we're too daunted by the details that it takes to get them in action. So many idea people are like, got these ideas, I just don't know how to do something about them. And that's what a virtual assistant can help us do. So April, how about maybe a success story or two, kind of basically about that. How have you helped scattered idea people, creative people, actually get something done?
As far as success stories, I can't really pinpoint a specific story, but I will say that, you know, I'll just throw out a few different clients I do some of the same similar things for. You know, I'll use you an example, Sylvia. Every once in a while, a client may need a reminder to do something that they more or less have a goal of getting certain things done on a monthly basis. Say, I'll say a newsletter, for instance. I have a couple of clients that write a newsletter that go out sometimes once a week, a couple of clients twice a month, once a month. Someone like me sends I have it right on my calendar or my scheduler to send a reminder to one of my clients. It's time to write a newsletter. We need some content for the next newsletter. So it's a little gentle, friendly nudge that they've sort of asked me to nudge them every once in a while as a reminder so that they stay focused on what their goals are. So I'm kind of there as just a reminder for them. Sending out emails to, say, a coach who has, say, 5 or 6 clients on that they coach that they have to set up on their calendar coaching sessions. I can do that as well. A VA can take those names, put them on a calendar, send reminders. You have an upcoming coaching session coming up. Here's the date. Here's the time. Here's the phone number to call into. And I'll also send, say, the replays of the coaching session so clients can listen to those replays at their convenience. So these are some of the things that the client themselves doesn't have to worry about doing. You actually put a step-by-step process in place to follow through with these tasks, similar to, you know, your step-by-step impact process. It would be a step-by-step reminder for your client, whether it's with other their clients themselves or just a step-by-step process for tasks for your current client. But that, you know, it's hard for me to pull out just one story because I have so many, and it's just difficult for me to pull out one. But those are some of the ways that I've helped so that my clients can stay focused on their ideas and what their goals are. I'm sort of in the background doing the behind-the-scenes kind of things that they don't really need to do. They don't need to do them at all because they need to be out there, you know, fulfilling their other goals, whereas, you know, growing their business and making some sales. And that's what I'm here for.
Yeah. And, you know, as I think through the things that as the content person, and by the way, most of your clients are coaches and speakers, correct?
That is correct. That niche actually found me. I didn't find it.
Okay. Ah, interesting. Okay. Partly because coaches and speakers refer others to you, so I guess that does.
That's correct. That's correct. Because there's a lot of VAs that do have a niche, and when I first started, I didn't have a niche. I had you. And since you've been around so many people and you've spoken about me, you've gotten me referrals, they've gotten me referrals, so the niche actually found me, and I'm very happy with my niche. So. And because of that, when I get a new client that happens to be a speaker or a coach, I am already pretty much trained in what programs they're going to be using to accomplish their goals. So it helps a lot.
And more importantly, you've been trained in our mindset because we're a niche that is, I would dare say, different from a store owner or a straight out salesperson or something, even though we have to, you know, do sales, but sometimes I know our minds are something to behold, and we need somebody to keep us halfway straightened out.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And I'm used to it now, you know, because I deal with so many of them. It's funny.
I know, but I, you know, actually a large number of listeners are speakers, trainers, coaches. So, you know, I hope their ears perked up when they on that one, because it does help to have somebody who understands our world, understands our mind. So as I'm looking through, as I sit here and look through my papers and look through my to-do list that I sort of keep online, but also have like 4 pages sitting here on the desk of checkboxes because I like to check things off. But they aren't checking off as much as I would like them to. Let's see. Mm-hmm. I know you've said in several different ways the things you do. What thought maybe should I be going through in my head, or what thought should we be going through as we look at our to-dos and say, that tells us maybe a VA can take, should take, not can, should take this, or maybe I should delegate this to somebody. Yeah, I remember in the business, in the corporate world, delegating to our administrative staff was like one of the hardest things for me to do and for many managers to do, because we're like, I can do it faster.
Yeah.
I can do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
So what should we be asking ourselves when we look at our to-do list and to tell us, I should delegate this?
I would think that probably the question you want to ask yourself in looking at the tasks that you have in front of you, this is something I must do in order for me to grow my business. If that task is not something that you, Sylvia, must do in order for your business to grow, then you can delegate that to a virtual assistant. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with a client knowing how to do everything in their business, because God forbid something should happen to their virtual assistant, whether they get sick, go on vacation, and that client needs something done. They should be able to do it, but I think they should the focus needs to be on growing their business. And if you have tasks that aren't necessary for you to do to grow your business, such as contact management, constructing a newsletter, you have the content, but you don't need to log in and put that in your program, your email marketing program, you can have a virtual assistant do that for you. While you're out, you know, you're attending events or you're networking or you're part of a mastermind group, or that's what the client should be doing. They shouldn't be at home or in their office putting together a spreadsheet. That's what a VA is for. So if you have a task that is not a must-do for you to do, to maintain business growth, then a VA should be able to handle that for you.
That is a key term for business growth. listeners,
and I know you
may
have
noticed
some of
you said you. listeners may have noticed that you did say for you, Sylvia. Yes, April's still trying to train me to get rid of stuff. And what you said, too, about that was what I had, the question I had earlier that went out of my head. I'm thinking, okay, so I've now made you've become indispensable to me as, and what happens when, heaven forbid, like you said, when you're gone or if something happened to you, what do I have then to fall back on? And I know you're working on an operations manual, for me. These are the things I do, and these are the steps that I take.
Yes, it's actually like a process manual. Every process that you have, whether it's sending a newsletter, whether it's putting together your radio show, whether it's, because I know I help you with that too, some of the images that we use. And promoting it. Every process that your client has somehow should be documented. If a client has not asked you to do that, it's probably a good idea to recommend that you keep a process log of everything that they do and how to do it, from the website URL to the login information. You don't have to put that on the document, of course, because that's secure information. But you want to make step-by-step notation of each process that your client has, so that if you do go on vacation, typically you'll have your ducks in a row before you go on vacation. But if a client needs to know what to do, they can go right into their process manual, look up whatever process it is that they need to understand, and they'd be able to do it too. It may take a little longer if they're not accustomed to it, but
right,
they'd still be able to handle it in the absence of their VA. So having processes in place for every client is important.
Yeah. I see a future for you training VAs as you grow, growing your business to train other virtual assistants, train the trainer kind of thing, train the VA to create their business. But I'm sure that's something to think about for future.
Yes,
without,
absolutely.
Yeah. So as we're coming to a close already, as you worried about those 60 minutes, any last words or final messages you want to leave listeners with about reaching out to a virtual assistant to help them get things done, get their ideas in action?
I mean, really the only thing that I would say as a last words, if you have tasks that you can hire someone to do without it affecting your sales growth, you know you can generate more leads or connections if you just get someone else to do some of the back-end work, then you definitely want to consider hiring a virtual assistant. I mean, there are a lot of virtual assistants out there, especially in social media. You can find virtual assistants at LinkedIn. You can find virtual assistants on Facebook. They have there's many groups, actually, specifically for hiring a virtual assistant, where there's tons of virtual assistants you can talk to, ask questions, possibly have a consultation on the phone to discuss your needs, and they may be able to help you.
Yeah. I would dare say even if I had been – if I had actually been comparing or shopping when I was referred to you, I would dare say as a potential client, I would have probably given 2 to 3 people the exact same task to see, mm-hmm. to see how they did it, who took initiative, who was thorough with their staff work and all of that. So that's from
I think that's a terrific idea, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. But we both happen to be figuring things out at the same time. You figuring out what the heck a VA is, and me figuring out how the heck I would use one. So
I think it's becoming more popular too as time goes on.
Yeah.
VA work is becoming more popular. There's no overhead either.
So yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't have to hire; it's contracted month by month.
Mm-hmm.
So as we close. Quick, how do people reach you, however way you want people to know how to reach you?
Well, you can reach me at my website. I actually have a contact form there that you so kindly told everyone. I'll say it again. My website is April, A-P-R-I-L, middle initial R, Hunter, H-U-N-T-E-R, .com. And you can also email me. My email address is april@aprilrhunter.com.
And make sure you use the R in aprilrhunter.com.
Yes. Are we going to tell them why?
Well, okay. I only have like 30 seconds, but if you want.
aprilhunter.com, without the middle initial R, happens to be a professional female wrestler, and that is not me. I'm a VA. That's it.
All right. April, thanks so much. So it's aprilrhunter.com. So thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Sylvia.
Okay. And for all the listeners out there, yeah, you too. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
That wraps up another hour of Idea Success with Sylvia, with information and inspiration to turn your dreams into dollars, your concepts into cash, and your ideas into income and impact. Join me next week, same.time, same.channel, same.number, for another episode of Idea Success with Sylvia.